I do pray and seek your face, God, that you'll use my lips, Lord, as a mouthpiece from heaven. Father, you know that if I give out funny stories, Lord, if I give out my own wisdom, Lord, my own opinions, that'll do nothing for the hearts and the souls and the lives of those that are in this building, Lord, or who might be listening. So I pray that the Word of God would go out with power tonight. Lord, that the truth of God's Word would minister to the hearts and minds and the lives of those that are under the sound of my voice. Father, and I pray, God, that you'd help us have ears to hear, Lord, eyes to see, hearts, Lord, open and willing, Lord, sponges, Father, to soak up the Word of God, and Lord, that you'd fill our cups, Father, that we might let those cups pour out on others, Father, each and every day. Lord, help us not to come to this place just to grow and to glean and to worship you here, but Lord, I pray our lives would be a daily sacrifice, Lord, as the Scripture says, a living sacrifice, lives that are holy and acceptable unto God. And I pray, Father, that you'd use us, Lord, in the hour that you've given us to live on this earth. Lord, it is kind of an exciting time, Lord, sometimes fearful, Lord, sometimes uneasy, but Father, you told us just to trust in you, Lord, not to think on our own things, Lord, not to stand on our own, Lord, merit, Lord, but Lord, to stand on you. And I pray that you'd use your word tonight, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I had a scripture come to mind, come to heart here not too long ago, which, I mean, I know the scripture, I've committed it to memory. But it was something that as we see things go on around us, we're living somewhat in a fearful time. And if you don't know the Lord, I could see why it would be fearful. But as I've mentioned before here, and I probably mentioned till the day that I die, it's exciting to see God's word unfold. You know, the scripture speaks of many things that the prophets wrote of that they would have loved to have seen. You know, and here we're seeing things that those prophets wrote of, we're watching them come to pass. You know, and they've been gone thousands, some of them thousands of years. But as I was reading and thinking on the scriptures, and even just today come a little bit more to me, the Bible speaks of a time as the days of Noah. And I thought about Noah this afternoon a little bit more as after our service this morning. You know, Noah was just a preacher of righteousness. I don't believe Noah got up and bashed anybody. Noah probably didn't cut anyone down. He was just preaching righteousness. He was just preaching a message, asking and seeking those people to repent, telling them that there's a flood coming. Just as well as today, I don't know when Jesus is coming back, but he is coming back. Just as well as that flood came, the Lord will come. He will come to receive his people. He said, I go to prepare a place, and if I go, I'll come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, ye may be also. He is coming again, isn't he? I believe that. I believe that. That was written a long time ago, and much of the things that happened already have been written, and they're just coming to pass. It's just working itself out. Jesus said it would. God's word said it would. 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. As we see things unfold, many things about tomorrow, I don't seem to understand. That was a very, very fitting song. Thank you, whoever requested that. Because there's a lot that goes on even today, things that'll be this week that we don't understand. I don't understand how a woman could want to have interactions with a woman in the way that we see, nor men the same way. I don't understand that. That doesn't make any sense. To me, except a mind or a heart that's turned away from the Lord. I don't understand how any man, woman, or even a youthful, you know, a young adult could want to take the life of a baby that's innocent as could be just out of sure. I believe that's hatred. That's a hatred for humankind to be able to do that. You know, and as I think you and I, you know, I could have been the same one. You know, I could have been one of those. Many of us here could have been one of those that was taken early, but we weren't. God saw fit to let us keep on keeping on, and I don't believe it's to stand around and be quiet. I believe it's to give out the word. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." And I'm going to stand here tonight just to give that out, to speak on that, maybe to lift up a few of those things and some points that I have that's not going to be long, but the spirit of fear. I see a lot of fear around us. A lot of fear. Everywhere you turn, it's something negative. COVID didn't work, they bring on something new, you know, and I understand people were getting sick. I do believe that. I believe that there was something going around that men and women were getting sick, but we serve a risen Savior, do we not? And I know that Christian people have gotten sick. I've heard of Christian people dying and passing from this life to the next. But what are we afraid of? If what we speak and we teach and we preach and we believe from this word is that when we pass from this life to live as Christ and to die as gain, what are we afraid of? I don't ask for that. I'm not asking the Lord. I'm not tempting the Lord to take me now or go out and act foolish and act stupid to bring that about quicker. But we trust Him. We should. I do. I believe that the Lord will keep us. He said that He'd keep us if we'd walk in His ways, right? He's not given us a spirit of fear. Isaiah 41:10 says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee." Now, I like a lot of scriptures. He doesn't say anything about "I might" or "I'll think about it." He says, "I will." Many times through God's word, He says, "I will. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." And as I was reading through the scripture there, and that verse came to mind, I wasn't even reading in 2 Timothy, but as that verse came to mind, I looked it up because I didn't remember the reference. And reading through it, page turned here. "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of a sound mind, of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." And there's a lot that comes along with Christianity, isn't there? It isn't just as much as I've seen or heard preached or taught, you know, a lot of it on the internet, because I don't go to a church that preaches the way that some do, but God's got this mighty wild plan that's great. Everything's going to be answered. You're going to be rich. You'll never, ever have a hurt. You'll never break your arm. Nothing of the... And that's a great... That's deception at the very core. It's a lie from the pits of hell. But the Bible does tell us that we are to be a partaker of the afflictions. You know, another scripture says that all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Now, if you were out selling cars, or you were out pinpointing a job, or telling, "Well, you know, if you buy this new car, it's going to have 6 flats in the first week, the motor will blow up, the tranny will go out," what are you going to do? You're probably going to run, aren't you? And much of what we see today, folks aren't living victoriously. They're not living with the power of God on their life, so that when we preach that, hey, times are going to get tough, things are going to get hard for you, and if you serve the Lord, the devil surely won't leave you alone, will he? That doesn't sell very well to many folks, does it? But much of us, and I don't mean that on our church, but a lot of the world, the Christian world that we see today, aren't living in victory, therefore none others are coming in. We're not seeing the sheep coming in, because much of the sheep aren't going out to bring them in, are they? And I feel guilty of that just as well. But I know that with the spirit of power, as the scripture says, the spirit of power that He gives us, and if we love those that are around us, Jesus said to love your neighbor as yourself, right? It's the second. The only other greater commandment than that is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, and then to love your neighbor as yourself. And if we believe what this word says, and if we see the times changing like they do, and we see the nearing of Christ coming, what are we doing just sitting here? Now tonight, I understand that we're growing, we're listening to preaching, we're worshiping the Lord in song, but what about when we step out? He gives us a spirit of power. And as I was reading through the scriptures and thinking on folks that had power in their lives, I get excited when I think about Elijah. That man had some power, didn't he? It wasn't of his own might. Samson had power, didn't he? He had a lot of power. He had a physical power. A lot of times we think of power being a physical might, a strength. What about power to overcome sins? What about power to overcome those weights and those things that doth so easily beset you? We see many people that are struggling with drugs. We see many people that are struggling with alcohol. Many people that are struggling with immoral perversions that I think, and being a male, certain things that we face, that's one of the greater perils that we face in this day. Is the immorality. The immorality, I think, and the Bible says fornication is a sin against the body. It's a curse. It's a corruption to the body of man. And if you've stepped out in those things, in those bounds, it's crazy to know the hold that stuff has on the life of a man, woman, or a boy or a girl. But it's very, very real. God gives us power, does He not? His word gives us power. And we must look to Him for that. Excuse me. David had power. You know, it's amazing to think of a little boy slinging stones and killing giants when the armies were afraid of him. You know, what about the giants that we face in this day and age? We see the giants of homosexuality. We see the giants of just disobedience, arrogant, blatant disobedience against everyone, not just children against their parents, but what about in my life, as I preached the last time I was up here? What about disobedience to your boss? What about disobedience... And I say this to your spouse. You know, what about those that are in authority? That's a great hold that we have, but we have power to overcome those things through God's word. If we had a spirit of love to love our neighbors as ourselves, and a spirit of a sound mind. Now, I put spirit in between each of those just to think, because that's a lot of times what drives us is this: what spirit are you driven by? Are you driven by fear? Are you driven by power? You know, some, and I don't mean the power that you're wanting to overcome everyone that's around you and to control as like we see today. What about love, and what about that sound mind? The mind, I think, is the greatest battlefield that any of us have, is it not? A mind that's been maybe out in sin, got saved at a little bit of a later date, that's not known the Lord for a whole long time, that's a battlefield. I've been there. I struggle with certain things even at the young age that I am, having done certain things that I've done. It's a battlefield. You know in your heart that you're saved. You know that the Lord's come in, He's changed you, but maybe you've made a mistake here, or you've made a mistake there, you've taken a wrong step. And I tell you what, it doesn't take long for the old devil, the old flesh. And I'm not even going to give him credit all the time. A lot of it's just the flesh. A lot of it's over the years, we've just given in to fleshly desires so long that it's hard to get away from that, isn't it? But we don't have to stay there. Matthew 14:30. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. That's our friend Peter, isn't it? Peter had power to get out of the boat. Why? Because Jesus bid him to come. Just as well as each one of us, we had power the day that you got saved, whether it was at this altar or an altar or by your bedside, you had power on your life because God bid you to come. He bid to your heart and said, come here. Because in my own strength, I wouldn't have went. There's no way. I don't even like being that big of a center of attention. And especially in a situation like that where you know if you go forward, everyone in that building is going, I know that boy's been living wrong, right? That's how we feel. Now, I know our church isn't pointing fingers. The people here love the brethren, love those that are unsaved, and we're desiring to see more of them come, right? Why did Peter have power? I believe Peter had faith in the Lord, didn't he? Peter wasn't a perfect man. You know, I've mentioned this before. I've thought a lot on this. All the times that I've read through the Bible and all the stories, I always think that Daniel's just, he's something supernatural. I always think that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are something supernatural. Peter, he must have had supernatural power. I can't walk on water. They weren't. They were regular, ordinary men. Men that were fishermen. What about men that are welders today? What about teachers? What about those that are on the internet are doing computer stuff? I don't even know what everyone in here does. What about carpet cleaners? You know, what about truck drivers? What about laymen in the church that are retired? We have power. God gives you the power. You know, they were regular Joes, just like you and I, that as God called them, as Jesus called them, something that always sticks out to me when I read is Jesus called the disciples. What'd they do? They immediately cast their nets down and they just followed him. Where is that gone in our day and age? Where is that gone? Do we believe that he's the same Jesus yesterday as he is today and forevermore? Is it the same God? Are we serving the same God? I believe it is. Where's that power gone? I don't believe he's gone anywhere, has he? I believe our faith is weak. And as the man said, I believe, but Lord, help mine unbelief. There's a lot of times, there's certain things going on. I've heard people pray. I've seen people miraculously touched and hey, it was gone. The cancer or whatever, it's gone. And I think, Lord, did they really have it? Was it even really there? Or, you know, there's that little seed of unbelief, isn't there? A lot of times. There, in my life, there is. I see certain things happen. I go, now, was that real? I believe it is. And as somebody had mentioned, maybe it was Brother Mike last week or the week before, I believe God wants to do something here. I believe he's in the midst, he's in the beginning of doing something, but we must surrender to the power that, hey, there may be things happen here that we can't explain. And I pray that's the case. I pray the Lord will come in and do things in my life. I don't want to just point fingers in your life, but each one of us have struggles, don't we? Each one of us have, if you will, fears. Not to be driven by that fear. God doesn't give that. That doesn't come from him. As I was going through fears, and as I was thinking of things that may cause fear or things that fear may cause in our lives, what's a few things that you can think of? Fear causes doubt, doesn't it? And doubt causes fear. Fear causes disobedience, or disobedience causes fear. I think of times in my life, I'll be the only one to raise his hand. Things that I've done that I knew were disobedient to the Lord, were disobedient to the will of God, I had a fear about me. There was a fear. It was almost an instant thing. I'd get a turn in my stomach. You'd start feeling nauseous, going, Lord, I pray you don't come tonight. If you came tonight, I don't know that I'd be ready. I feel like I've done something, you know, and most of the time it was because I had done something wrong. What else goes along with that? I said confusion. God's not the author of confusion, is he? According to his word, that doesn't come from him. And I don't believe at all that that comes from him. Division. Do we see division in our land today? Do we see division just in families? I see it in families. I see it in workplaces. I see it all across the world. Division causes fear, and I believe fear will cause division. We're scared of what's coming ahead. You know, I've heard of many people, I've not been in a whole lot of churches, but I've heard of church splits just because someone's afraid to pick out the right colors or the wrong colors. Things that are petty. We're in a petty time, aren't we? Everyone's worried about himself and himself alone. Instead of taking this word and taking it to heart and letting it applying it to each one, taking it personally. That's what I was talking with Nicole about the other night. If we would just take it personal, not that I'm preaching this for Sister Nina, or I'm preaching this for maybe Emma. No, I'm preaching this for me. I believe any time that I've got up here, I've said it. I believe it's something that the Lord has helped me with and is maybe dealing with me at the time. But I'm thankful for that. If he just left us alone, where would we be? If he didn't use his word to convict our hearts that we could share it with others, I'm not up here to be a hypocrite and point fingers at Brother Brian. I'm here to let everybody know, hey, this is where I've been at. This is what God showed me. And I pray that it'll help you as well, because you might be going through the same thing. Fear causes denial, or denial causes fear. You know, we begin to not deny certain things, and there arises a fear. Fear is an ugly thing, the wrong kind of fear. Fear, torment. 1 John 4:18 says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear has what? It has torment." I see folks worried about everything. I think toilet paper was a greater pandemic than what we faced. Folks were so scared of what? If you're getting sick, what is toilet paper and those things, what are they going to do for you? Now, look at the push for gasoline. Folks are doing ridiculous things for gasoline, doing things that make no sense. Why? Out of fear. Tomorrow it could all be gone. Well, of course it's going to be gone, because you have 85 5-gallon buckets in the back of your Prius and nobody else can get any. Doubt, we spoke of doubt, and despair. Fear goes, I think, hand in hand with despair. You know, there was many times, and many of the names that I've mentioned so far, we could go on rabbit trails everywhere, which wouldn't be out of line, but David was in despair, wasn't he? He ran from Saul for a long time, and there was despair in his life. I believe there was some fear there. Well, I know there was, or you wouldn't run for your life, right? Have you ever faced that, where you're just in despair and don't know what to do and you're scared to death because I don't know what the next step may be? I've been there a number of times. But we're going to not stop at fear, because fear won't get us anywhere, will it? Another scripture that came to mind today was, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge, lack of wisdom, right? God's people are destroyed nowadays. The church of the Lord is being destroyed because folks, they just don't know. But the fear of God is the beginning of those things. And if we love the Lord our God with all of our hearts, all of our souls, all of our minds, where should we go? I believe we should go to the Lord. I don't believe for a second, as we well know, because we're here all the time. We have a core group that's always at church. Not because we want to fill the pew. I don't do much good filling a chair. Well, I probably fill it out better than some, but I don't mean it that way. We're here to serve the Lord, aren't we? We're here to worship the Lord. And I am not here to bash any church, anyone, but it's a joy coming from other churches that when we get to sing, you can hear everybody sing here. I enjoy that so much. You don't hear the crickets chirping and the one or two that's on the stage or the one or two saying, "Oh, how I love Jesus." You do? Let him know about it. Tell him. Power. Elijah had power. We spoke of Elijah having power. Daniel had power. Why did these guys have power? I think most of all, the number one thing, Daniel 1:8 speaks of a purpose that he had in his life. He purposed his life from a young age. We have a purpose. They had power because they denied their flesh. They denied those things in which they liked. I'm guilty. I'll just raise my hand, because the flesh rises up, doesn't it? It does. Sometimes we need to get better at holding that thing down. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they had power. Why? Because they believed the Lord. They trusted him in everything. I honestly, right now, if someone come in here and put me in the same position that they were going to throw me in a furnace if I didn't bow when the music played, I mean, this was an instant thing. Those guys, it wasn't, hey, you got 20 minutes to think about it. No, we're going to throw you in the fire if you don't bow. And what'd they say? Our God is able. Is our God able today? Is he able to deliver folks from drugs, from immorality, from alcohol, from broken marriages, from whatever you may put out there? Because the list is much longer than this nowadays. It's way longer. Our God is able. He's able to deliver us. But sometimes, as I mentioned before, sometimes he doesn't deliver us out of those things. And why? The older I get, the more I understand why. That they might be an example. That you can be an example. Sometimes you have to go through those things so that you might be able to help someone else down the road. Instead of just being mully grubs and down and out, there's a purpose, there's a reason. I mentioned today, and we've prayed for the family that had the young boy that passed away, 4 years old. That didn't make a whole lot of sense to me at first. I thought, and I had a why. It wasn't a doubt of the Lord. It wasn't questioning God. But I thought, why in the world would the little four-year-old have to go through all that? But I believe wholeheartedly as we went through that service and the man that gave the service or officiated the service, I think he did a wonderful job. There's a purpose. There's a reason. And I want to turn over there, Habakkuk 3. I've not read much in Habakkuk, but if you've not either, you may want to get in there. And I read through it a couple times the other day just because. And now I'll tell you, I probably can't find it. There's a reason. There was a number of things going on in this time. A lot of negative stuff. Lots. I'd like to read through it all, but it would take us a while. So we'll just, I'll start with 3, verse 15. Thou didst walk through the sea with thine horses, through the heap of great waters. When I heard, my belly trembled. My lips quivered at the voice. You know, I think as I read that, I thought, man, I've been in those shoes. I've heard certain things go on, and your belly gets in a knot. You know, I hadn't heard much on the Israel thing that's going on right now, but I heard a little bit about it, and some folks were talking about it, and that kind of turned my stomach in a knot because I know that they play a very, very strong role in end-time prophecy, and it makes me wonder. Things get a little uneasy. Not that I'm scared. I understand what God's doing. But it does makes a little unrest maybe in my soul. And I trembled in myself. Rottenness entered into my bones. And I trembled in myself that I might rest in the day of trouble. It's hard to rest when there's trouble around, isn't there? But we're able to rest in the Lord. Saved people can rest in the Lord. When he cometh up unto the people, he will invade them with his troops. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. I'm going to stop there for a second. What about in our day and age when things aren't happening like they happened before? I've heard Brother Mike, I've heard Brother Lonnie, and I've heard a number of folks. Brother Brian, you've spoke on it. Some of you elderly have spoke of times where the altars were full. There was tears. The altar was wet. It wasn't just a tear or two, but it was wet. By men and women were scared to death of their sins. They were crying out. They were pouring their hearts out to the Lord, seeking to be saved. What about my time where those things aren't happening? What about my time where the fig tree is not blossoming, per se? What about the olive? The scripture says the olive shall fail. The fields shall yield no meat. The field is white unto harvest, right? But there's no laborers. The laborers are few. We're seeing fewer and fewer. What about my time? What do I do? What does Brother Ryan do? What does Cade do as he's raised up in this? Peyton, all these younger ones that have not physically with their own eyes seen those things happening. Let's keep going. What if we see ugly things? What about when death arises? You know, I believe the Bible says God's no respecter of persons. He's no respecter of age. Neither is death. Just because we're in church or because you're 4, 5, 3, 2, whatever it may be, newborn, maybe preemie, whatever. There is no respect of that time. There's no respect of age nor of life in our day and age. What do we do? What do I do? What about you guys that have seen that? And maybe you are growing a little weary and well-doing. The Bible says don't do that, obviously. Don't do that. But what about when things are looking a little tougher? What about when the darkness is coming around you? Listen to what Habakkuk wrote. He says, and there shall be no hurt in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. What do we do when it's dark? We just keep on keeping on, right? We keep rejoicing in the Lord. Why? Because he's brought us this far. He said that he'd walk with you. Don't live in fear. Live in power to overcome those dark things that are around us. Live in love. Why? Because others need to see love in us. Live with a sound mind. Why? Because Facebook, Twitter, CBS, Fox News, every outlet under the sun is nothing but false news, fake news, things that don't pertain to a hill of beans, keeping folks scared to death, and their minds are running rampant on what's coming next. People are in fear because they have no long-term goal of where they'll spend eternity. Don't live in that. Rejoice in the Lord. I couldn't imagine being in some of the spots that some of these men have been in, rejoicing in the Lord. David, this place that he rejoiced in the Lord even in the midst of adversity all the time. This was all the time stuff, guys. This wasn't just once in a while. This was perpetual hatred and fear on a daily basis. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Why? Because this isn't forever. This is not forever. This is very, very temporal. My 34, almost 35 years have gone by this fast. I mean, it seems like I was just a teenager not too long ago. I was 14. Miss Ellen, just yesterday you were 18. And now a number of years have gone by. And I asked Grandpa that. I think I probably mentioned that here. Just a little while before he passed, I was 28 and he was 82, and I thought that was neat because the numbers were flipped. And I asked him, I said, Grandpa, how fast have these 82 years gone by? If you could just say it. And he said, it's been a blink of an eye. He said, I just met your grandmother just the other day, and now you guys are having kids. You know, some of my cousins, and now they were great-greats or greats or whatever they were. And I thought, yeah. I said, it goes by fast. And he said, yes. He said, life is but a vapor. It appears for a little while, and then it vanishes away. What legacy do we leave when we go? Maybe not so much what we've done, but what have we allowed the Lord to do in us? Did we live a life of fear? Did we live in power? Did we have a spirit in us that was loving to others? Sometimes I'm not so loving. Sometimes I struggle with certain things just as well as you. Love. John 15, 12 and 13 says, this is my commandment. Now this isn't just a suggestion, is it? A lot of these things in God's word, most of them, they're not suggestions. They're the things that God commands his people to do. My sheep know my voice, right? I know my sheep. He knows us. He says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Mark 12:30 and 31 says, love the Lord your God. I'll turn over there. With all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. Probably almost just quote it. Now, I made a mistake earlier. I told Nicole, I had this written down, and I just read the wrong verse, and it almost didn't make sense with what I was giving out. 12, verse 30 and 31 says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. None of the other ones are any greater than these. These are the greatest two. But as I've heard preached and taught and read, and as I've learned for myself, all those other ones fall in line. If you love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, you're not going to take his name in vain, are you? You're not going to look to other idols. You're not going to look to things that are false, that are fake. But if you love your neighbor as yourself, you're not going to covet his goods either, are you? You're not going to covet his wife, his family, whatever. You're not going to do those other things. And that's why God gave us this. God gave us, I heard this a long time ago, the B-I-B-L-E is the basic instructions before leaving earth. And that was really suiting. It is. It's an instruction manual. If you're going through this, seek him out. If you're going through a good day, seek him out. Praise his name because he is good and his mercy endureth forever. Even when things are tough, even when the fields aren't growing. Praise his name anyways. Even if you've lost your job or you're struggling at your job or somebody's falsely accusing you at your job, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord that we have the ability to be accused, right? I could have no legs and not be able to work. Having a sound mind. A sound mind, I believe, is a sure mind. Settled. A settled mind. You know. There's no question. There's no ifs. There's no ands. There's no buts. There's no doubts. A sound mind comes from the Lord, doesn't it? A sound mind doesn't come from your neighbor. It doesn't come from the things that you see on the internet. It sure doesn't come from Washington, D.C. or the White House. It comes from the Lord God Almighty. We need a sound mind in this day and age. There is too many other winds blowing out there. We must have the wind of the Lord blowing in our ears. I believe that wholeheartedly. Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He was willing to go all the way. Am I willing to go all the way tonight? Are you? I believe we are. We're still here, aren't we? What about when things get a little rougher? What about when they tell you you can't have services because, well, you can't be 6 feet apart? We're here to serve the Lord till the end, right? And I just can't. I hope and pray. Maybe it's a greedy, selfish prayer. I pray in my heart that I'm just dead and gone when things come like that, when they're willing to take your head off or they're willing to, whatever they're willing to do. Hey, if you've seen any kind of TV or watched any kind of thing out there, any kind of movies, it's just a miracle that we've made it this far with what's going on and people are just soaking it up. TV shows about Lucifer, TV shows about this, TV shows about that, with every ungodly, unfit thing going on in front of your eyes. And then we wonder, many folks wonder, why we're not seeing the power of God move in services. Well, if you didn't spend Saturday night filling your mind with garbage, maybe the dumpster wouldn't be full, right? Maybe your cup wouldn't be overflowed with trash because your mind is not sound by godly things, right? Nicole and I have done a decent job of cleaning out, cleaning the house. We don't really watch much TV anyways. We might watch a movie, and I'm not saying that I'm anything because I'm not. Because I've watched things in the past that would make most folks blush and make most folks sick. And now that I look back on it, I think, what in the world were you doing? How in the world can we go and do certain things on every other night of the week and miss church or come into church because we're blazing tired or our mind's not even in it and we don't get anything from it. We're failing. And this isn't me up here just hammering down on everybody. We don't have to. We don't have to fail. We just seek the Lord. Seek Him with all of our hearts. Love Him with all of our hearts. Ever learning. 2 Timothy 3. I want to read a little bit of 2 Timothy 3. This isn't new. This is probably one of the most quoted, especially in the time that we live in. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Just as well as Noah said, there's a flood coming, guys. There's a flood. Get in the boat. I want to stand here like Noah did and say, it's coming. Now, I don't want to say it's tomorrow because I don't know that part. I don't think Noah knew the exact day. I believe the charge for Noah was to preach righteousness, get as many as you can in, tell them, let them know. So that's what we're here doing, right? That's what our lives are about. Get them in. Get them in. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. This stuff is raging everywhere around us, is it not? Without natural affection. Truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. What about some of those things? And I don't think that's just pleasures as in sensual pleasures. I think that's just everything that we put before Him that we love to do. I'm guilty about spending maybe a little more time in the shop than I ought to. I'll just tell myself yesterday, I told Nicole, I got another truck and I wanted to do just a couple little things. Hey, I'm going to go out there for just a couple little things. It shouldn't take too long and I'll be back. I was taking her to dinner for her birthday and we wanted to do a couple other things. I wanted to spend more time in the Word. And I was in there till 2:00 in the afternoon. So my little job that started at 9 ended at 2, and I felt guilty. There's a lot of other things I could have been doing in that time, but I needed to get the truck done, right? Lord, I got to get this done. Then I'll come and read. And then after we go to dinner, I get way too full, and Lord, I'm too tired to read right now. I'll get up early in the morning. And then we always push it off. That is a fleshly fault. That is just a fleshly, I'm going to call it a curse. It is. That's just this old ugly flesh that I'll do it later. Lord, I'll spend more time praying later. What? One day there's not going to be any later. There won't be a, well, I'll repent later. Lord, I'll turn from those things later. Now. The Bible says now is the day of salvation. Those that are saved, now is the day to get closer. Now is the day to draw near. He said if we draw near to Him, He would draw near to us, right? That's what He said. And I believe He means it. All the way through. I don't believe it is true. Whether I believe it or not, it's true. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness. This is one that really, it's not new. I'm not here to bash. I'm not here to harp. I'm not here to crush. But many folks are living in sin, living in immorality, and saying, praise the Lord God, I'm a Christ follower. Your actions and your deeds do not play suit, do they? No. God's word says we'll know them by their fruits. The world will know you by your fruits just as well. Me. I'm going to say me. I don't want to point fingers. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, the Bible says, turn away. It's plain and simple. It doesn't say give place to that. It doesn't say borrow, have fun. You guys, on Friday night, you can hang out. It says turn away from those things. Not because you're better than that person, but because you're desiring, you're striving to be holy as God is holy. Turn from that. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. This was a note I had written down. Verse 7 says, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. This goes along, I think, with the sound mind part. There's a lot of folks that know everything. And I don't mean just your average Joe Blow know-it-all that you think, oh, he just knows. There's a lot of folks that have a lot of knowledge. There's people that know stuff about things. Ryan knows stuff about things that I have no idea. And I don't understand. But that's something that he's into. Ryan's a studier. Ryan's like a sponge. I think he soaks most everything that touches him up. And he just has that. And Ryan's not the only one. Much of the world. But what I like about Ryan and the brotherhood that I have with Ryan is not ever learning about the worldly things. He's desiring to ever learn about godly things. He's come to the knowledge of the truth, and all that we need to do is build upon that, right? I could care less if the world's flat or round. That is such a deception of the devil in the day and hour that we live in that folks will fight. Christian folks will fight about the shape of the earth, and men and women are dying and going to hell. Whether hell is in the earth as a round cube or under the earth, if it's flat, I don't care. That's where folks are going for eternity, and we're not even worried about that. Men and women aren't even worried about that. I'll blast you because you don't know the shape of the earth. Really? Well, my eyeballs look like footballs, and they're not round like yours that don't have glasses. Does that matter? No. We're not to gender strives, and that is not having a sound mind. That's not being settled in things that eternal, things that need roots. Folks are digging a hole and planting bushes that you don't want. They're planting thistles instead of roses. God's word is true, is it not? I believe that. We're watching it unfold. So my charge to you tonight, if I may have a charge, is to not live in fear. God doesn't give you a spirit of fear, but I do believe that the beginning of knowledge, or fearing the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And people are being destroyed today because they don't fear the Lord. They don't fear His truths. They're looking to every wind of doctrine, as God's word says. They're believing everything that they hear. And just as easy as that, folks are just straying. Folks are just, they don't want nothing to do with church. They don't want nothing to do with God. They don't want nothing to do with truth. You know, I think Brother Mike Hutzel and Mike Hoggard have spoke about it. You know, it was convicting. I listened to something Brother Mike Hoggard had given out a while back about believing a lie. Not only believing a lie, but telling a lie, not meaning to lie to others by something that you've seen or that you read or that you just passed a lie on. There's a lot of things that float around on the social media networks that are just nothing but lies. Men and women get paid on YouTube to build videos that are just straight out lies. Yes. Straight out untruths. And millions, if not billions, of folks are soaking it up. They're soaking it up. Their minds aren't sound because instead of being given to this, being given to truth, we're given to every other fable that's under the sun. Everything. Time is not spent where it ought to be spent. And I pray today, as I mentioned, the charge that I'm asking you, maybe giving you, or maybe it's just something that I pray the word will speak to your heart, and you'll go through and you'll think about, maybe, is there any fear in my life? What spirit am I being driven by? Am I being driven by a spirit of fear? Because there are certain things. You know, there are certain folks that live on unemployment, or not unemployment. Well, there are those too. Some folks that live on a monthly basis, a check that hardly, I don't understand. I know, yes, I do. It's God's sweet hand. My grandma got, I think it was something like $1,200 a month for, what is that stuff? Social Security. Things that she got for grandpa when he passed. I think it was $1,200 a month. It may have been $1,400. And I thought, grandma, I asked her a few times, I said, grandma, I don't know. And she'd have stuff left over. She'd have plenty left over. But she also kept every plastic tub that she got from Subway. She kept every plastic silverware that she, plasticware she got. And this, I loved to think on those things because she was joyous just in that. Her laughter was it was something Nicole and I were talking about yesterday. The laughter that she had, the joy she had in the Lord was real. It was real. And I pray in my heart, before we see the return of Jesus Christ, I could see that in my own life. Because I do believe the joy of the Lord is the strength that I live on each day. But she lived it. There was a joy. Miss Beecham, there's a joy in your face when you get up and sing. There's a joy on the elderly. I'm not going to call you old. You're elderly because you're older than me. You're elderly. You're just that much closer to home, right? That's where we're going. And if God so chooses to tarry, I'll have white hair, probably. I'll have a gray beard, and I'll be saying, man, just yesterday I was 35, and now I'm 85. He's not willing, as I've mentioned, we've mentioned, the word says, he's not willing that any should perish. Don't live in fear. Live with power. I pray that we see a spirit of power move in this place something that would astound us, something that we question not why, but how. How did that work? What's going on? It'd be neat for other folks to see something happen, and hey, if it doesn't happen here, it'd be neat to see it in our area where we can just glean off of it too. Let it come to us, that we'd have a mind and a heart to serve the Lord in love, to serve others in love, and with a sound mind. I pray that you guys have gotten something from it. It spoke to me. I know there's a lot of talk, a lot of scripture, but there's more to come. Don't give up. Please don't give up. You guys not giving up helps me not give up. And I pray that me not giving up will keep Peyton going. It'll keep Noah going. It'll keep Jude going. It'll keep Anna Kate going. It'll keep the Atlantis boys going, that they'll want to serve the Lord all the days of their life. They may not understand. You guys are seeing things go on nowadays that Brother Arliss didn't see, Brother Larry didn't see, Brian. Boys, hold fast. Just hold fast to one thing. I'm not saying don't read anything else. Hold fast to one thing. Hide it in your hearts like you've been doing. Keep it up. Lord, I pray that the Word of God has gone out tonight, Father, in a way that would minister to the hearts, to the lives that are in this place. Father, I know that it's nothing that I could say or do, God, that would speak to the heart. It may tickle the ears. Lord, it may get a laugh. Lord, it may maybe get the attention, but Lord, you speak to the heart. Lord, I pray your Spirit would go out. Father, and if there's a need in this place, Lord, I pray your Spirit would minister to that need, whatever it may be, if it's salvation, if it's repentance. Lord, all across the board, folks, Lord, have needs. We're in the flesh, Father, and we'll be in this flesh till you return, Lord, or until you take us home in the grave. And I pray, God, each and every day, we'll live in power. Lord, we'll not be afraid of what's going on around us. Lord, far too long, the Christian church has had their eyes on what's going on around us and not on the one that controls, Lord, the setting of the sun, the rising of the moon in the evenings, Father. And I pray, God, our hearts would be focused on you. Lord, from this day out, there'd be no doubt, there'd be no fear. Lord, there'd be no scare. Father, we just love you with all of our hearts, all of our souls, all of our minds. But as your word says, not just you, Lord, that we'd love our neighbors as ourselves, Father, that we'd reach others that they might not spend eternity in hell, but they'll be with us, Father, worshiping the King of Kings forever throughout eternity. Lord, lifting up our voices, singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Thank you for the opportunity and the privilege to get up, Lord, in front of a group of folks just to give out your word, Lord, as you've given it to me. Thank you, Father, for all you do. Give our folks a safe trip home, Lord. And I pray a week, Lord, a week of blessings. Lord, maybe not monetary blessings, but, Lord, blessings to other people. That, Lord, our people here would shine, Lord, as a light to those that are around us. Please, Lord God, before long, God, if it be Wednesday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, bring a soul, Lord, that needs to be delivered of sin. Lord, a soul that needs to be delivered from bondage, that we might see a soul saved, God. Not just down here on their knees crying, Lord, someone that knows that they're sick and tired of sin. Someone that's been dealt with by the Holy Spirit that just wants to give their life to Jesus, that we might help minister to them and love on them. In Jesus' name, amen.